Lord is on the move, amen? All right, now to talk about the best proverb ever. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs 21:9, and when you have it, I'd ask if you please, if you are able, stand for the reading of God's holy word. Now, we won't go to both places, even though this proverb is repeated twice and it's found two different places, also at 25:24, but I'll just have you go to the one. Proverbs 21:9, it says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." Amen. A woman just amen that. I'm feeling a little less nervous about preaching this message this morning. All right, let's read it again and then we'll pray. "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." This is the word of God. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning and we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, every single jot and tittle we know is inspired by you. You've given us your full and complete revelation, and we come before it now and ask that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin and empty me of self. Lord, help me be a blessing to your people this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that my words would be your words. And Lord, that we would be edified by your word here today. Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. And for those who do know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that you would continue to draw us closer to you. Make and mold us into your image that we may bring your gospel light into the community that you have us be a part of. We love you, Father. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So as a pastor, especially when I first became a pastor, there were always passages that I had in my mind that I'm like, one day I'm going to preach this verse. And one of them happened two years ago, I believe. I think I did it over the course of COVID when we were online only, so I didn't get the pleasure of preaching it in front of people, but rather as a TV preacher, and that was Mark 14, and the passage that talks about the naked man in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came to get Jesus. And what's the significance of mentioning that there was a naked man in the Garden of Gethsemane? And we talked about that, and I hope it was relevant if you remember it. It's on YouTube if you want to go back and check it out. But then there's this one. And as we go through Proverbs, the opportunity to preach this came up. And not only did it come up just once, but our readings this week were Proverbs 21 to 25. It came up twice. Because it's found two different places in the book of Proverbs. Now, this proverb for me has a history, all right? This proverb, for me, goes the whole way back to high school. Now, I graduated from Redline Christian School. Some of y'all know that. And so in our senior year for our yearbook, with our senior picture, we have to have a life verse with our senior picture. We all submitted our life verses. I, one day, was called up by my homeroom teacher, who was the editor of the yearbook, and she said, "Mr. Slemp, you need to pick a new life verse." Because mine was, "Better to dwell on the corner of a rooftop than in a wide house with a brawling woman." And I said, "Why do I need to pick a new?" "Pat, that is not appropriate." I said, "Is it not God's word?" "Mr. Slemp, you need to pick another verse. I am not printing that." So I had to go with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, all well and good. But it, like I said, it's one of those verses. And here's the thing, folks. While it seems funny, and we can roll our eyes about it, we can make jokes about this verse, here's the thing. It must be important because it's in the Word of God. There has to be something for us because it's inspired in the Word of God. And like I said before, it's not just mentioned once. It's mentioned twice. Solomon recorded it, and then later on, chapter 25, it begins a collection of proverbs that Solomon's men, led by Hezekiah, thought needed to be repeated and reinforced, and it made that list too. There's got to be something good in this passage. Amen? There are some nervous men in here like, I don't know if I'm allowed to amen any of what you're saying right now with my wife sitting beside me. It's okay. We'll get through this together this morning, all right? It says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. So let me explain this. Essentially, what it is saying is it is better for a man to have a small living space or quarters, which in the context of the passage and in the context of the culture, when it says corner of a rooftop, we're not talking about a slanted rooftop. In those days, the rooftops were flat. And oftentimes, the rooftops were used and sectioned off outside as guest quarters for people who were staying. Okay? So there were things up there. It was flat. It's not like, you know, the fiddler on the roof where he's just on the corner and playing. That's not what we're talking about. So there's actually guest quarters up there. But he's saying it's better for a man to live in a small space, living quarters, on the rooftop of a house with little possessions, alone and outside. Better for a man to live there than to dwell with a brawling woman. Now, what is a brawling woman? A contentious, argumentative, quarrelsome, nagging woman. Now, I qualify that last part, woman. It doesn't say wife. It says woman. So this just doesn't apply to if you're a wife. It applies to a woman, okay? In other words, it's better for a man to live in peace and quiet in a cramped space on the roof alone than in a sprawling, luxurious house with a nagging woman. Okay, now, I would ask the ladies to please stay calm at this moment. I'm surprised I haven't heard anything from my wife in the back yet. I know it's probably coming. By the way, she has not approved or seen this message, so this is all new to her too. But I want to assure you right now, it's not going to be the kind of message that you think it's going to be, okay? It's not going to be the message that you think it's going to be. Because overall, let's remember, this is the Word of God. We're not picking on anybody this morning. We are trying to take the truth from the Word and apply it to your life like the Book of Wisdom helps us to do. Proverbs help us, if you've been reading through it, these Proverbs, I hope, have helped you see some unpleasant realities and some unpleasant truths about both men and women, and about certain things in our life. So what we need to do is we need to try to figure out, okay, what is Solomon, and later on his group of wise men who thought it would be good to reinforce this. And not only that, but remember, it's inspired. So what is God trying to tell us in this proverb? What is God trying to tell us in this proverb? What can we learn, both men and women? So here's how I've set up this message this morning. I've got three takeaways for women, and I've got three takeaways for men. If you are here and you're not married, you get to vote. Who thinks we should go with the women first? Let's see it. You're married, Winona. Who thinks we should go with the men first? Okay, we're going to go with the women first. It's quiet in here this morning. This is great. This is great. Hey, it's the Word of God, amen? It's the Word of God. There's something for us. Okay, so here's the three takeaways for women. Takeaway number one from this proverb of it is better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Number one, don't be a brawling woman. Yeah. Don't be a brawling woman. What is a brawling woman? A woman who is quarrelsome. A woman who is, in the context of the text and relating it to marriage, a woman who is constantly going against her husband. Amen. A woman who constantly is difficult to her husband. A woman who is always, and hence why the word brawling here, looking for a fight. Looking. We laugh because we know. Come on. Looking for a fight. Come on, folks. Look, my wife is back there laughing. I can hear her laughing. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of pointing at each other today. Listen. This is a problem in our society a lot of times today. Now, I'm not painting a broad brush, okay? But there is a lot of stuff because of feminist movement, because of stuff and words thrown around such as toxic masculinity, and things that are embedded in our culture today, that men are seen a lot of times as an enemy, and a lot of times from their own spouse. Hence the woman's need sometime to feel like they need to go against, they need to state their part of the marriage, they need to constantly looking for a fight, constantly go against. Listen to me, the reason why I'm pointing this out is because at no point in Scripture does it tell you it's okay to be a brawling woman in your marriage. But rather, Scripture makes it very clear that we are supposed to be a helper and an encourager to your husband. A helper and an encourager to your husband. All right? In Genesis chapter 2, it says that the man made all the beasts and all the animals of the field, but yet a suitable helper could not be found for him. Amen that none of those beasts or animal was a suitable helper for the man. Oh, that would have been weird. And God said, I have an idea, and he fashioned the woman. And he brought the woman to the man, and it said, this is to be your helper, your companion for your life. Did you hear that? I think that's something we need to remember, and we'll talk about, trust me, folks, there's three takeaways for men, too, okay? But a woman is not supposed to be an enemy to her husband. She's to be a helper and encourager to her husband. Men today, more than ever, because of the culture we live in, listen to me, need to be built up, encouraged, shown respect, and appreciated for what they do. Okay? And some of you may say, well, what do they do? If you have a good man, he provides for you. He protects you. He helps you. He sacrifices for you and your family. And listen to me, if your husband has faults and shortcomings, like, come on, I have faults and shortcomings. I know that. Your husband probably has many faults and shortcomings. Listen to me. Where your husband falls short, you are supposed to help him, not discourage him. Right? That's why God matched you up. You're to be a helper to him. All the ways where your husband does not meet the standard, or all the ways where your husband does not fit the bill, or all the ways where your husband needs help, that's what God put you in his life for. To help, encourage, to build up. And when you are a brawler, when you're constantly at your husband, when you're constantly looking for a fight, when you're constantly criticizing, wears down a man. And I'm talking from, you know, as a man, okay? It wears you down. So that's the first one. Don't be a brawling woman. Don't be a brawling woman. Because look at what it says. Remember what else it said in Genesis? It said, it's good for man not to be alone, right? And that's why woman was created. Amen? Are you guys still listening to me, or are we done? It says, it's good for man not to be alone. Woman was created for man, so he was not alone. This proverb is saying that it's better for a man to be alone than to be with a brawling woman. All right? You are supposed to be with your man, be a benefit to him, and not a hindrance. Second thing, women, second takeaway, you are to be a source of peace and to make your home a place of refuge. Notice it says, dwell in corner of a housetop. It is better for a man to dwell in the corner of a housetop. You know what the opposite of that is? It's basically saying to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a home with you, if you're a brawling woman. Now, why? Because if you are a brawling woman, what it does is it takes away the peace and the pleasure of the man from his home. In other words, a man should feel at home and at peace and be able to take refuge in his wife in his home. There's a lot of things that men deal with, okay? There's a lot of things that men burden themselves with. There's a lot of things that men have to take care of, right? And your husband gets run down from all these places. My question to you this morning, women, are you someone who adds stress and anxiety to your husband when you're at home, or are you someone who calms it, alleviates it, and allows him to relax? Now look, I'm not talking about you should have dinner on the table and allow your husband to put his feet up and bring him a beer when he gets home and that's it and he doesn't do anything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking, are you allowing there to be a peaceful sense in your home? Are you allowing him to be able to come to you to talk, to process, to be able to confide in about all the things that maybe he's dealing with and things that he's sharing? Or are you a stress and cause of anxiety for him? Does he go from one stressful thing in the workplace to another stressful front at home? Scripture says that's not how it should be. A man's home is to be his refuge. A man's wife is to be his confidant, someone he can confide in, have peace in, be assured in, know that he means something to somebody in this world, that he's held in regard to somebody in this world, right? Is your home a war zone, women, or is it a safe place? And I hate to use that word because of the condemnations that get put on it a lot of times in our culture, but is it a war zone or a safe place? Because here's the thing, when it's not a safe place, the man doesn't want to spend time there. Hence why the proverb says it's better for you to be at the corner of a rooftop. Hence why sometimes we have women in our culture and in our society who wonder, why is my husband never home? Why does he spend all these hours at work? Why does he want to go out and spend time at the bar? Why does he want to go spend time over here? My husband's never home. Is there something good for him to come home to? Is there something promising for him to come home to? Is it a place of peace and a place of refuge? Or when he goes home, does he feel like he's a guest in his own house? That's what the proverb says. Better to dwell in the guest quarters than to be with your wife. Second takeaway. Third takeaway, and it's quiet. Keep your heart pure. I'm curious if it's going to be as quiet when I get to the three takeaways for the men. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure. Notice the proverb says it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. When it says wide house, what is it referring to? It's talking about a sprawling, luxurious home. Obviously, based on what the proverb tells us, this woman is being taken care of. This woman is being provided for. This woman has everything she needs from her husband in her home. So the question becomes, why is she so upset? Why is she so upset? If she has everything she needs, why is she still not happy? How grateful are you, ladies, for the man that God has put in your life? You know, it can become very easy from what our culture tries to tell you to have your own expectations of what your marriage should be, or to adopt what society tells you the expectations of what your marriage should be. But let me tell you, women, if you have a good, hard-working man who provides for you, who leads you and your children, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Well, Pastor, they're not perfect. Neither are you. And God puts you together so that way you could help and assist one another. One of the great things that we need to remember, and trust me, I'm preaching to myself too, okay, especially when it gets to the part of the husband, is that as a husband and a wife, you're not enemies trying to get your own wills in your house with your children, but you are supposed to be a team working together for goals that God has given you and your family. It's not a competition, but that you're supposed to advance the kingdom in your home together, okay? Now, go to Ephesians chapter 5, because let's talk about that, because in order to properly understand and be grateful for what your husband can provide for you and what your husband does in the role that God has given him, we got to understand why we have to do that. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul lays all this out. He talks about what a husband and a wife's relationship looks like and how it's supposed to glorify and mirror the relationship between Christ and the church. Okay? So, it says in Ephesians chapter 5, look with me at verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything." Now again, the whole thing of checking your heart, right? Look, I know that the word submit there is a bad five-letter word in our culture, but that's because we've defined it incorrectly, and some of that is the man's fault, okay? We've started, "Woman, you must submit to me." Look, submission is never forced. Submission is given. Amen? Come on. And it says, "Submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord." Remember, wives, you play the role of the church in the symbolic relationship of marriage, which is between Christ and his bride. Therefore, just as you are to submit to the Lord, you should submit unto Christ, or you should submit unto your husband. In other words, you are willing to do things how the Lord is leading him, because you know he has your best interests at heart, you and your kids, in all things, at all times, for the glory of God. Just like you are supposed to submit unto God and his word, because you know God has his best, your best interests at heart in everything that he wants you to do. Now, when we think about our relationship with Christ and how sinful we are and how we constantly go against God, right, we wonder, why does God put up with us? Okay, well, put yourself in that. If you are a quarrelsome wife, think of the stress and the problems you cause to your husband. You wonder why God puts up with it? Well, it's mirrored. It's a mirrored relationship. Women, if your heart is right with the Lord, it says submit yourself as unto Christ. If your heart is right with God, there's a chance your relationship with your husband will be a lot better. The contentiousness between you and your husband will be a lot better. You will be more grateful for what he does. Because when your heart's right for God, are you more grateful for what God does for you? Amen, Pastor Jeff. When your heart's right with God, are you more willing to submit to the Lord? Amen, Pastor Jeff. Look, this is as awkward as it is for me as it is for you, okay? I was thinking maybe tag-teaming it and having a woman do this part, but, you know. But count your blessings. So three takeaways for a woman from this passage. Don't be a brawling woman. Be a source of peace at home and a place of refuge, and keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure. Be grateful for the man that God has promised you. Now, let's get to the men. I was told there would be an amen at that interlude, so just let's get to the men. Men, what can you learn from a passage that sometimes seems very slanted towards being critical of women? Number one, men, there is great significance in who you choose as your spouse. Great significance in who you choose as your spouse. Men, if you are here this morning and you are single, you need to look for a good, godly Christian woman. Scripture says you should not be unequally yoked. And too many times, men who are good Christian guys have fallen and have been taken down and lose their relationship with Christ and get into all sorts of issues that God never intended them to be in because they met a pretty girl who gives them attention. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Look, I believe the proverb says that the beauties of a woman will eventually fade. Not my wife. She's beautiful all the time. But listen, when you're looking for a spouse, men, you need to look not just for looks, but you need to look for character. You need to look for faith. You need to look at personality. Okay? Because the last thing you want to do is get yourself in a situation where you are now married to someone who is unequally yoked. And then you wonder why you have a brawling wife. It's because she's not the wife that God ever intended you to marry. Look, I've seen a lot in ministry where, and now I'm talking about people who, whether you're unequally yoked or you're not, where the woman can drag down the man when it comes to ministry. Your woman is either going to lift you up or she's going to drag you down and keep you from where God wants you. I am very blessed that I married someone who lifts me up. She might not always lift me up in the way I want to be lifted up, but she's very good at keeping me grounded at the same time too. I went to my, well, at the time, girlfriend and then fiance and then even the day before. Some of you know the story. I knew I was going into ministry before we got together. And so I even asked her before we started dating. I'm going to be a pastor. If you don't see yourself being a pastor's wife, we should not pursue this. She said she was okay. Before I proposed to her, same question. She gave me the right answer. She got a ring. Even up to before we got married, we shouldn't pursue this. This is where it's going. And she knew what she was getting herself into, so to speak. And some of y'all know, I wouldn't be the pastor I am today without that beautiful wife that I have that God has blessed me with. So look, make sure, men, single men, you marry the right woman. Is our marriage perfect? Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. But you need to make sure you're not unequally yoked, okay? And listen to me, it's better for you to be alone than to be unequally yoked. Second takeaway, Don't be the reason your wife is a brawler. I knew it was going to get a little more talkative in here. Don't be the reason your wife... I heard a lot of female voices for that one, too. Amen, Pastor. Don't be the reason your wife is a brawler. Look, there's a lot of times a woman will get upset and will be contentious and will be nagging and will be argumentative. But men, you need to ask yourself the question, especially if you married a Christian woman and she gets like that. Men, are you the reason that she is nagging and argumentative and brawling? Come on. And you know the response to that? If you married, look, if you married an unbeliever, you can't fault. She doesn't know the Lord. But if you married a good Christian woman and she turns out to be that way, and it's in your, you got to start asking yourself the question, men, am I loving her the way that I'm supposed to love her? Because everything in your marriage depends on how you love your wife. Go back to Ephesians 5. Because just as it says that word submit, right, and the wife plays the role of the church in the relationship in the marriage of Christ and the church, and the wife plays the role, guess who the men play the role of? Jesus. And the only way the wife will submit is if they know that the husband is going to take care and provide and protect. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it would be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Let me explain this to you. If you provide for your wife the way Jesus provides for you, if you take care of your wife the way Jesus takes care of you, if you protect your wife the way that Jesus protects you, if you honor your wife the way that the Lord honors you, if you respect your wife the way the Lord shows respect toward you, if you love your wife the way that Christ loves the church, and your wife is a believer, there shouldn't be many reasons for her to be brawling. There shouldn't be many reasons. Look, you need to live with your wife. That's huge. Notice we talked earlier about, you know, women, is there something for your husband to come home to? And maybe that's why he's never home, because he doesn't want to come home because there's nothing there worthy of it. Listen to me. Men, that role can also be flipped. You need to remember that your wife is your number one priority. You need to remember that your home is your number one priority, not your job, not your profession, not anything else. Okay? You are called to be a husband and a father first. And when you put the time in and you do that properly, I guarantee you there would be a lot of wives that would not be so upset because hubby would be in the home. Amen? Hubby would be attending to the things at home. Hubby would be attending to the children at home. Hubby would be helping out at home. All right? Doesn't mean you can't have a job, but you need to understand, men, your first calling is as a husband and a father. One of the most powerful things I was ever told early on, my wife and I were having issues in our marriage early on, and my wife and I had been to counseling at different points, right? And I had been a pastor for about 2 years at that point. I remember one of my good buddies, who's now, who I'm college roommates with, good solid Christian man, he's now a pastor in Northern PA, and he said, Jeff, you need to remember this. The day that you die, at your funeral, your wife and your children are never going to get up front of people and say, you know, he was a good pastor. Because they don't care what you do. It's, was he a good husband or was he a good father? That's what matters. And that's where your first priority is. Don't give your wife reason to be a brawler. Provide as the Lord provides for you. Love as the Lord loves you. And I love how Paul puts it at the end of verse 28. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. In my twisted mind, I see that as the man knows better. Because if he doesn't love his wife, oof, he's in trouble. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Third takeaway. First one, the significance of a spouse. Don't be the reason your wife is a brawler. And last, if a fight does come along, don't escalate it. Don't escalate it. This is something I've had to learn big time in my own life, and it's there in the proverb. It's right there in the proverb, right? It says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. What is it essentially saying? Men, if there is a brawl that starts in the house, you need to remove yourself from it. It's in your best interest. That's why you have garages. Amen, Justin. Amen. Listen, don't escalate. I know it can be tough, right? When my wife and I get into a quarrel, you should know by now, she is a little firecracker. My wife knows how to push my buttons. She knows which buttons to push. And sometimes she's looking for that lead. Men, your wife can do the same thing. Don't take the bait. Be the peacemaker. Don't run, but remove yourself. Now, let me tell you why. Notice it says better to dwell on the corner of a rooftop or the corner of a housetop. What's it telling you? Go outside. My wife is so wise that she sometimes even tells me that. We get to a point, and I'll say something that I probably shouldn't say, and she'll look at me and she'll say, just get out. Go outside. If you ever drive past the parsonage and I'm doing laps around the house and I don't have a lawnmower, just say a prayer, all right? But men, listen to me. When man was created, where did God put you? Did he put you in a house? He put you in a garden, didn't he? Men feel most comfortable outside. Men find peace outside. Men can see God outside in creation. That's why we're more inclined to be outside and have a desire, okay? Now, some of you are like, but Pastor, you said our home should be. Yes, your home is your castle, right? But sometimes you need that peace and quiet, and you need to walk away, right? And by the way, these people that say, we've never fought a day in our life because Scripture says don't go to bed angry. You know the context of that verse doesn't mean that you shouldn't sleep. It means make sure you handle the issue at some point. That's what it means. Because the longer you go without sleep, the more warped and tired you're going to be in your thinking and your process, and something's going to go wrong as you're trying to fix a problem. Get a good night's sleep, address the problem in the morning. Just like men, you start getting into those arguments and things like that, remove yourself, go back out, remind yourself in God's creation, get some peace and quiet, take a couple of deep breaths, and then come back, de-escalate the situation. Sometimes it's good to be on the corner of a rooftop for a little bit. Let the brawling woman calm down. What's that old saying? Hell hath no fury like the wrath of a woman. Come on. Calm down. As the worship team gets ready to come back up and lead us in a final song this morning, Interesting proverb. Interesting message. But it's ultimately God's word. And there's truth always in God's word, right? God's word will never return unto us void. I hope that you were given something this morning for you to chew on, for you to pray about. Because ultimately, you know what this proverb speaks of? It speaks of the importance of peace in the home. Peace in the home. But I want you to notice, as we talked about today, the only way peace comes in the home is when Christ is at the center of your marriage. Because without Christ and without his word, you don't have the boundaries of what your marriage represents, Christ and the church. Without Christ in the middle, you can't look at your spouse when you're mad and remember, guess what? Jesus loves them just as much as Jesus loves you. And offer that same grace, and offer that same mercy, and offer that same forgiveness. You have to have Christ at the center. You are going to have arguments. You are going to have fights. That's inevitable. The goal here is not to make it a lifestyle in your home, where you're constantly at one another, where there's tension all the time. Always, always give your spouse abundant grace. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? As we go before the Lord in prayer, I want you to just ask, men, are you loving your wife like Christ loved the church? Are you loving her sacrificially and unconditionally, the way that Paul lays it out there in verses 25 to 28. Are you the reason for your wife being contentious? Is there something you need to fix? Is there something you need to change? Because when you love her in the way that Christ loved the church, if her heart's right with God, she should respond in the way that we respond when God loves us, the way that Christ loves the church. And women, question I want to ask yourself this morning, are you an asset or are you a detriment to your man? Do you build him up or do you tear him down? Are you someone who props up and helps? Or are you someone that continues to hold your husband back? Are you appreciative? Or are you a brawler? If it's the negative ones, chances are, ladies, your relationship with your husband will mirror your relationship with God. What's your relationship with God like? Your heavenly Father. Whatever's wrong in that relationship, get fixed. And he'll help fix your relationship with your husband. Lord, we thank you.